the First Draft Podcast with ESPN experts Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay and Field Yates, keeping tabs on all the latest in the NFL draft, is now twice a week, every Monday and Thursday. And also check out Monday's show on YouTube as well.
Welcome to Organized Chaos. Along with Rex Ryan, here's Bart Scott.
Welcome to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott, joined as always with Rex Ryan. And guess what, Rex? The Super Bowl is set, and it's not what we thought it was going to be. The Bungles, I have to put some respect on their name, the Bengals, and Joe Cool, Joe Smoke, whatever you want to call them, went into Arrowhead and handled their business. And I tell you what, I tip my hat off to them. I tip my hat off to the owner. It's been a long time coming. 1988. It's been a long time, man. And I tell you what, they earned it. And I have no idea what happened to the Kansas City Chiefs that looked like they were tight after Tyreek Hill and the debacle that was the closing of the first half.
Well, that's exactly right, Bart. I think here's what people don't understand. Here's what analytics doesn't understand. All of these type of things. Momentum is unbelievable in a football game. And that play, the fact that the Chiefs butchered that play right before the 2 minute, gave all the momentum in the world to the Bengals. Every damn bit of it. And if somebody says, oh, that's not the case, the hell it isn't. It is the case, and it was a huge critical error. But, Bart, more than anything, I saw how tight Patrick Mahomes played at least all the way through the fourth quarter, but really even in the third quarter as well. And anytime they dropped three-man rush, he was done. And all I saw was a guy that wanted to play street ball, had never threw the ball in rhythm. He's the guy that looked like he had never been there before. And the other cat, Joe Burrow, cool as hell. Everything he did was stand in that pocket and rip it. And then the other thing he did, he beat them with their legs, with his legs too. Yeah. And to me, the Bengals, this quarterback, and I've said he reminded me of Brady because of those tangibles that he has, that hired killer mentality and confidence and poise and everything. And that's what he showed. And you know what? The better quarterback on that field, it wasn't even close. It was Joe Burrow.
I tell you what, you know, he surprised me with the legs, his ability to get out of some really tough throws. But Patrick Mahomes reminded me of Ben Roethlisberger his rookie year. Remember how he said he couldn't read coverages his first year? Well, it looked like he couldn't really read coverages because, you know, we typically don't see people playing three-man rushes against Patrick Mahomes because you don't want to give him that type of time. But they had an organized plan for when the scramble drill happened, to how to inside out Tyreek Hill, how to inside out Harmon, how to inside out Travis Kelce. And I think the difference was the fact that one team really invested in their defense and the other team didn't. And finally, the ineptitude of the Chiefs' defense finally came back to hurt them. They don't have great corners. They don't have any players in the secondary outside of Tyrann Mathieu that any other team would want. And I thought that Joe Burrow with T. Higgins took advantage of it because they always had the mismatch with inside of the numbers. And you know, T. Higgins had a great day. Of course, they were going to take away Jamar Chase. The tight end getting hurt early on, I think, really hurt their plan. But then Joe Mixon for years, before it was Mixon and Bernard, and they decided to move on from Bernard. But Mixon has been one of the best dual threat type of running backs in the league for a long time. Now, that offensive line, you know, didn't give up the gaudy sack numbers. It's going to be interesting now that we have the Super Bowl set, because that's a whole nother beast right there. And I think we may have the most entertaining Super Bowl set for us with the Rams, but also with Ramsey versus Chase and all those things. But where does Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs go from here? Because we talk about windows, and I talk about windows all the time, Rex. And this was their window. Their window was wide open. And now with this loss, now Burrow did what Allen couldn't do. But we don't think that Allen won't be back for some next year. And eventually, you know, they're going to have to pay a lot of people too. So where does Kansas City go from here?
Well, I think first off, Bart, you know, I want to say this. How many people said this is the best quarterback in the history of football? and just totally dishing, you know, Tom Brady and all that. And I'm like, wait a second, dude, this guy ain't close.
We always get that.
20 years in the league before you even put yourself in that conversation, because you can't do it. And this is why these things show up right now. Is he the best quarterback in the league? Is he even the best quarterback in his conference with Justin Herbert? And he certainly, Allen makes a point that he might be better than him. So Joe Burrow, like, to me, it's, you know, this is a great group of young quarterbacks, but man, to think Patrick Mahomes is the end all be all, not the way he played today. And it reminded me of the only time I've ever seen Tom Brady flinch was when we put on all of our three man rush stuff against him in that playoff game. He looked like he was lost. And to me, he reverted back to street ball.
Yep.
And to me, that's a problem, where the other kid was so calm. But I think, look, Kansas City is going to do what they do offensively, but they got to get it right. They got to get this kid playing with more confidence. For some reason, he didn't have that game, that second half of either one of those games against the Bengals. And then the other thing is defensively.
Yes.
Look, this guy's been, oh my God, the window on this football team is closing, but this cat, let's face it. He's won some Super Bowls. He's had some good defense, but he's also had the worst defense in the history of football with the Saints and the Giants. So to me, I don't know if they make a move there or what, but
you have Tyrann Mathews, who's a free agent. I mean, you got Melvin Ingram, he was a rental. Yeah. I mean, Travis Kelce's going to be another year older, and you have to create more balance on this team. You have to get a better defense that can, you know, be something other than a bend don't break. I mean, this is the second week in a row where they got destroyed, right? And you know, we saw what Buffalo did to them. I mean, it was amazing. But it was, back to your point, Patrick Mahomes, it seemed like Cincinnati started playing. He's going to play street ball. He's going to spin out and try and do all this stuff. And they just start putting a spy on him and saying, don't worry, when he turns around, just be there to put pressure on him. And I thought they did a great job. Hubbard was one example of that. But, what really irks me is all the little tweets and texts from all these little Buffalo Bill crybabies that want to sit there and complain about the coin toss. When I talk about piss me off, if anything, like, they should be looking at their defense. They gave up 70 yards to give up a field goal with 13 seconds to go. Then they gave up a touchdown. You look at what Cincinnati did. Cincinnati did what teams who believe in their defense or teams that say, hey, it's two sides of the ball, is supposed to do. They leaned on the side who went out there to do their job, and they did their job. And, like, I hate all these people jumping on want to change the rules. So now do we want – now can we agree that it's okay that, you know, the other team in the defense can make plays as well, as we just saw the Rams defense make a play in a pivotal moment? Like, we've been on plenty of those. Like, and I almost prefer a lot of times, especially with these rules, you don't lose with a field goal. I prefer these rules if me and you were still in the game.
Yeah, no, exactly, because nobody in their right mind – nobody's going to drive 75 yards and score a freaking touchdown. Like, that didn't happen. That never happened in our defenses. I mean, very rarely. So what the hell? Just, like these fans, like, you don't change the damn rules. How about you stop them with 13 seconds left if you're a Buffalo Bill deal? Or you just because the team wins the coin flip doesn't mean they have to win the damn game. They don't have to put it in your end zone unless you're horse on defense. And that, to me, the rules don't need to change. And let's hope to goodness they don't change them, just because the league wants offense so bad. But give me a break. They don't need to change it just because, you know, Josh Allen, who I love, didn't get a chance to score again. I don't want to hear it. The Chiefs earned – I mean, you gave them it, whether they earned it or not. You gave them the damn victory last week. And then the Bengals went out and took it from the Chiefs. So, to me, they earned their spot in the Super Bowl. Good for them. Look, Bart, this is a team, the Cincinnati Bengals, that, just face it, like 3 years ago, they won two freaking games, worst team in the league. Worst team in the freaking league. And people are saying worst organization in the league. So it's possible to change things. How? You get the right guy pulling the trigger.
Yeah.
You get the right quarterback, and then you build pieces around him. And that's what the Cincinnati Bengals have done. And by the way, they always said that Cincinnati can't get anybody in free agency. Nobody wants to go to Cincinnati. Well, look at that football team. They made trades and they had free agents, and that's how they got better on defense. And this team is in the Super Bowl because some of the decisions they made, and you give that Tobin credit, and people finding these players a lot of credit. And you're right. Mike Brown gets criticized all the time, being cheap, being all this. Well, I know one thing. He's got his dang team going to a Super Bowl, and good for the Brown family.
I'll tell you what. Well, let's see, with the quarterback and this type of talent, let's see what type of offensive lineman should be volunteering, because I don't know how you come back with, half of these people on the offensive line that they have. So I can see, free agents, pending free agents saying, hey, you know what? You guys got a pocket full of money. They're not paying Chase. They're not paying T. Higgins. They're not paying Burrow. They're not barely paying Mixon. They're playing Trey Henderson, and they're probably going to pay Bates. And they're going to make some adjustments. They got to get a better corner when you think about Eli Apple. But this may be a team that people will flock to because they're in the Super Bowl. So they know that this team is just – they're just scratching the surface of what they could be. They're heavily flawed right now, as far as being able to protect this kid. So, I mean, I can see a lot of free agents starting to run there because they have plenty of money. And, it's not – Cleveland – Cincinnati's not Green Bay. They do have a town downtown. They are semi-developed. I know you got to fly into Kentucky, to Paducah, or Kentucky, wherever the hell you got to fly into. But it is a place that is up and coming. And where are we at now when you think about just Allen, Burrow, Herbert, Jackson? Who knows who else is going to be added to the mix? But I tell you what, man, this AFC is primed and ready. And I think this Bengals should be a story that you can be an overnight success for some of these teams that's been in the basement. I wonder if you're Cleveland, how in the hell did you get – you just got passed, and everybody within that division, you just got passed by the Bengals, and you have to go back to the drawing board and say, hey, what did we do wrong? Because this team's going to be a tough out from now until this kid retires.
Yeah, no, you're right, Bart. And let's face it, Cleveland was supposed to be the team going to the Super Bowl. They're the one with all the talented team. But the problem, you know what, Cleveland? You don't have the freaking quarterback.
Yeah.
You drafted a guy in the first pick, but that doesn't mean anything. I tell you what, he's great as an actor, but he is average as hell as a quarterback. And you just saw another guy that's way better than your quarterback. And that's why the Bengals are representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. So to me, yeah, you're right. So, all those teams. And think about this. If you're the Cleveland Browns, all right, you passed on, you couldn't get Burrow, but
Jackson, Allen.
You could have had Josh Allen. You could have had Patrick Mahomes. You could have had Deshaun Watson if you would have run this thing right. You failed in every one of those. You missed every single one of them. Now, you built an offensive line. You got great running backs, and you got some great players on defense. The problem is with this football team, they don't have the quarterback. And if you don't have a quarterback, it's awful hard to win in this league.
Well, you talk about hard to win without a great quarterback. All we have to do is go to the NFC and what we saw with the 49ers. As it looked grim, right? You look at Matthew Stafford early in this game, throwing the interception in the end zone on the first drive. And it looked like, once again, the 49ers had their number. But, Odell Beckham and Cooper Kupp comes up big. Oh, yeah, Odell Beckham, the guy that couldn't play in Cleveland, has been playing his ass off, having over 100 yards and making some very contested plays. We knew this was going to be a drag-out fight. It's weird how every time I watch these teams play, Aaron Donald comes up small. Like, you never see him, really. And I don't know what they have on him. It's kind of like when Bill Belichick always went against J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt never had any productivity. But, when it came down to it, he made enough plays to get some pressure. And Jimmy G showed us who he was. I know Debo Samuel tweeted out earlier this week, why does my quarterback get so much criticism? Because he is who we thought he was. And when it got tough, he showed us, and he made a costly play, which will probably send him into free agency or might send him to a place like Cleveland or send him to a place like Pittsburgh because, he came up short and his time, I think, is past.
Yeah, and the thing about him, when the first thing you think of is critical error. When I think of Jimmy Garoppolo, yes, he's a talented guy, but I think critical error. And anytime he extends a play, that's not a good thing. where it's a great thing generally for Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, all those good quarterbacks. It is a disaster for Jimmy Garoppolo. And to me, you saw him. He should have thrown another couple of picks. Anytime he's outside the numbers, I'm like, oh, God, don't do it. But that's it. He does come up short. And you're right. That's where all the fingers are going to be pointed at, is you got the wrong guy at quarterback. And this team played really well, you know, although – you and I both have a major problem on how people play defense.
I just can't get it right. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
Crazy. I'm sorry, but it drives me crazy when you got a guy that's on the line of scrimmage in a bunch formation and you don't put your freaking hands on him. It's the stupidest thing I ever seen. They give up those free access plays and Cooper Kupp's destroying people, and it's like, what the hell?
It's like you used to have to pay $200 before pass and go. You used to have to pay a toll if you want to get down deep. And this is the crazy part, especially when you're going against Cooper Kupp, who's sometimes in a slot or off the ball, or you're going against Deebo Samuels. If you're pressing a point, then it makes it easier to defend the screens. That's where they kill you at. And you guys are 10 yards off, and the guy on the point of the ball can just run and block whoever he wants. I have no idea. I don't know what this trend is in the NFL, but if you don't press the point, guys get free access. The rules are already slated or jaded towards the offense, so you're going to get legal contact. You're going to get guys running by you, getting you on your heels and having you open up early where they can just do press outs. I don't understand it. You know, these defensive coordinators, I don't know what school they come from or who they fracking from, or maybe they all studying together, but it's the damnedest thing I've ever seen in my life. You know, but I do think we have the best matchup, you know, going into it. You look at Jimmy G was 16 for 30. I mean, that 50% completion rate. And I've never seen a man survive for so long in my life, Rex, throwing the ball in between the hashes. Like, yeah. I cannot, how you don't have robbers there? Every single pass is coming back over. I don't know if he really complete more than two balls outside the tackle box.
Can't throw outside the numbers. There's no consistency there. And, like, I'd have this guy bail all day long on us. Guys, don't worry about containing him. Just rush the ball. We want him on the move because he can't freaking complete a ball on the move. And the thing, it just drives you crazy because they could have stole another game. And you know why? Art, here's the crazy thing. So the Rams get a pass and everybody's going to be talking, hey, Matt Stafford did a great job. Did a great job. He threw up a freaking punt that should have been intercepted, and the game should have been over. Like, he's critical error written on him too.
Yeah, Tart.
Like,
yeah.
When he threw it, I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, he threw a freaking punt up there, and the kid drops it. But
yeah. I tell you what, when it's your time, it's your time. Because McVay with the dumb challenges, like no timeouts. Like going forward on like the quarterback sneak when they pinch in, like why not give it to your running back off center or some type of fullback belly or something like that? You're giving it to Matthew Stafford. I understand he's 38. He's 38 of 40, but when they pinch down like that and you know that your guards aren't the strongest of your team, you know that could have cost him as well. I thought McVay was reckless, and he got bailed out. I thought he was reckless in his play call. I thought he was impatient. And you know, and he really did some things that could have got them.
To your point, how many times have you ever seen a spot when somebody challenges a spot, it gets changed?
Never,
it never freaking happens. So fans that are out there, if you see a coach dumb enough to challenge a spot, it never happens. All right, when it's in a pile, they never change the spot. Trust me. Years and years of coaching, I thought my guy made it and all that, but I learned don't be dumb enough to challenge it because they never, ever turn them over. And this guy does it. And then the fumble.
He had his whole hand on it.
Like, what the hell are you doing? And here's the thing. So you think this guy's a damn genius. If they would have lost that game, people would have given that guy a pass. Where they would have killed other coaches. Like, can you imagine if
McCarthy,
would have called this?
Yeah,
they'd be running his ass out of town.
And the fact these guys win the game just tells you how good that damn roster really is.
I tell you what, when they're all in, they don't have a first-round draft pick to 2024. They better make it count. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. But I tell you what, let's take a break and let's come back and let's discuss a little bit about this Super Bowl matchup. And also, we've had a lot of activity in the coaching carousel as guys are starting to fill spots. And I have a feeling that some more is going to be filled now that, you know, we're down to two teams left. So let's take a break and come back and let's recap.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott, joined as always with Rex Ryan. And I tell you what, Rex, Super Bowl 56 is official. It's locked in. We have the Bengals versus the Rams. The Rams is the second team in two seasons to host it at home. But I don't know if they feel like they're at home, because today it seemed like it was a San Francisco 49ers home game. And I tell you what, it's amazing how the Vivid Seats sold all those damn tickets to 49ers fans. But maybe, just maybe, it'll be more balanced and it could be a home game as all the stars came out today. I saw Cedric the Entertainer. I saw Leonardo DiCaprio. You know, it's gonna be a hell of an event, man, and it couldn't be in a better venue. But I tell you what, one team we thought could get there, the other team we didn't think would get there. But I think also this is a great matchup. You know, you have the defensive line in the lockdown corner. You got the matchup, everything that you would want, Rex. You got the corner, the Jalen Ramsey, the physical corner, who they're going to try and maybe go one-on-one with Jamar Chase. That's worth the price of admission as well. You got Aaron Donald, who's finally going to get his stage and his opportunity to kind of put that ring on his finger. We got a guy chasing destiny as we got two first overall picks at quarterback. You know, one doing something that we've never seen and one trying to change the narrative about his career. How do you see this one going?
Oh, I think it's going to be an amazing game. I really do, Bart. And, like, there's no way you can count the Bengals out because of that damn quarterback, because they have the edge at quarterback. Like Matthew Stafford, fine, but you have the critical error in you. And to me, this Joe Burrow, dude, I ain't betting against that cat. Like, to me, I think that gives him a chance. And he pumps life into that whole team. That whole team walks around like they're bullies now.
Yeah.
You know, it's hilarious. Because let's face it, you know, to me, they're, hey, come on. You know, these are the Bengals. Well, no. That this guy has them all believing, and it's the quarterback that just runs the whole dang show there. And that's why I can't wait to watch it. You mentioned the matchup with Jalen Ramsey against Jamar Chase. Are you kidding me? Like, that's a freaking heavyweight fight right there. I can't wait to see that one, but you better have, here's my advice. You better have top help. Don't just leave Jalen one-on-one, because
we saw Mike Evans, you know, tell Ramsey, like, okay, I know you're a big dog, but, you know, why give up explosive play if you don't have to? I think you put two on Jay. Oh, you know how we used to always do? We used to put our second best corner and the safety over their number one and take our number one and put it over their number two, because our number one should be able to dominate their number two. So a guy like T. Higgins is a guy that gets everything done for them. I would put Ramsey on him and double Jamar Chase everywhere else, because it's fine. You can have a light box because your defensive line, you think about Floyd, Von Miller, and Donald, that should be barbecue chicken. I mean, so it should be no easy throws. I mean, Jamar Burrow should be running for his life. I mean, if what happened the other day with Tennessee happened, I mean, this is a much better, you have no answer for the suddenness of Aaron Donald. And then now you got the inside pressure. Now you got the outside pressure from the two edge rushers. It's going to force them to come up with a tremendous game plan, especially if they're going to be without their talented Azuma, their talented tight end, where it looks like he's done. But on the flip side, it looks like Higbee's going to be done for the Rams as well.
Yeah, but you're right. That other guy that stepped in for Higbee had a hell of a day.
Yeah, he did.
Dude, but anyway, he had a big day. But you're right. It will be interesting to see. I think it's almost like this. If they go to straight man coverage, expect Ramsey on Chase. if they do anything else, you can expect zone, some kind of zone or man under, where you're basically having two guys cover Chase. I think that's a better strategy. You've got, you know, and let Higgins, that's no easy, you know, that's no walk in the park either,
right,
with Higgins, but you're right. And allow that pass rush. You've got to cover them for about 3 seconds.
Yeah.
If you cover them for 3 seconds, that pass rush will, two of their guys will win in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
All right. Aaron Donald always wins. But you're also going to have one of those edge guys winning on a consistent basis. So to me, that's got to be the key in this game. You know, the Rams, that they have to overcome the fact that their quarterback can throw, make a critical error. They've got to be able to overcome that. And then, you know, and fumbling, and they, if they protect the football and get after it, then you would think the Rams will win this thing. I think that's why they're 4-point favorites going in here. But no way in hell do you bet against Joe Burrow. This guy is just too dang good. And he just, he'll will his team. It seems like he's got that magic right now. And it's going to be a great Super Bowl. I hope. We've had some great playoff games. And let's just hope the Super Bowl doesn't disappoint.
Now you talk about, you know, it just seems like this is like Joe Burrow, like he surprised us all. But it's crazy because you can't take these moments for granted if you're Joe Burrow. You can't just assume, hey, this early success, we're going to get better, because we look at guys like Josh Allen, guys like Lamar Jackson that's been trying to get there. Look at guys like Ryan Tannehill that thinks – and I know like, you know, Joe is better than Tannehill, but you think about Josh Allen, been knocking on the doorstep. You look at Lamar Jackson that can't get over the hump. Like, the Cincy has to win it. If you're here, you have to win it. Like, you look at it, they can't be complacent with the fact that we're just happy to be here, because the Rams expected to be here, and this is their second time back, and they fought to get back here. And these guys are playing to try and win because they know they don't have long to stay together, where Cincinnati thinks, oh, we're going to be together for a long time. We're a young group, but it's no guarantees that you're going to get back.
Yeah, and you're one injury away from being a disaster, because right now the way they protect their quarterback scares the crap out of me, because if Joe Burrow goes down, this team has no chance. Absolutely zero chance.
Yeah.
And it's all about him. And so – make no mistake, it's all about Joe Burrow. And you're right, nothing's ever guaranteed to you. You know, we had some good Raven teams, but we couldn't get back. You know, so nothing is guaranteed to you. So, yeah, I mean, make hay when you can and go get it. And it, whether you're the Rams or the Bengals, you know, the odds on you getting back there again is not very good. So you got to make damn sure, you got to make hay while you can. And the, you know, and see what happens. Almost live like there is no tomorrow.
Yeah.
Nothing guaranteed to you.
I tell you what, we got two of the best receivers in the game in Kupp and Chase, and I don't know if you're a starter on the team, which one you go with. But when you look at the entire roster, think about Jefferson, Beckham, and Kupp versus Chase, Higgins, and Boyd. If you had to pick one, who would you take?
Man, oh, man. Whew. That's almost impossible to answer. But I think I would take the Bengals just because I think Boyd is better than Jefferson.
Jefferson.
So, you know, but it's so close. You know, I just love the young receivers with Chase and Higgins and then and Boyd. But you're right, Odell Beckham and Kupp, like those two right there are crazy good. I'm not a big Jefferson fan, so I might give a slight edge to the Bengals there, but it's certainly not much. But I just think the quarterback's such a big edge.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's amazing. It's amazing, right? Whitworth is going to be looking at the Bengals like, man, like really? Yeah. Really? Yeah. You got really? Now you guys are in the Super Bowl. All my life, all the work I put in, you know, people forget the great offensive line they had with Whitworth and Swartz.
Oh, yeah.
And all those guys was tremendous. But, I mean, how about this guy, right? We make a lot of noise about what Tom Brady was able to do late in his career, 22 seasons. We'll get to that briefly. But,
yeah,
you know, Whitworth is 40 years old, and they've talked him back into coming back and playing. like 2 years in a row. And finally, he's going to get his opportunity to try and put that bow. We remember Jerome Bennis riding off into the sunset. He has his opportunity to ride off into the sunset. You know, how good do you feel about him, and how tremendous of a job has he done at 40 years old to be the left tackle to anchor that offensive line?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, Bart. And this is one of the real good guys in the NFL as well. So you really are pulling for him. The fact that he's in this game now, and you mentioned all those down years he had with the Bengals, certainly wasn't his fault. That guy was a great player for the Bengals for a number of years, but for him to get an opportunity with the Rams, I think is great. It's extraordinary that you got a left tackle playing at 40 years old. Like, that's absolutely absurd, but good for him, man. I'm happy for him. And really all these players, you know, it's just such a great game. And there's so many great players, yourself included, that never had an opportunity to play in this game. And,
yeah,
you know, here these guys get that opportunity, and it's something that they'll remember the rest of their lives.
Organized chaos.
I don't know if you heard this, Rex, but this guy named Tom Brady, I think he's calling it a career. I don't know if it's not official like a whistle yet, but if it is something that's true and he just wants to give the respect of the NFL to allow the NFL to be the story, what's your fondest memory and what has he meant to this league?
Well, I think first off, Tom Brady's without question the best quarterback that ever played the game. And his stats are just absurd. I mean, 7-time Super Bowl champion. Think about how tough it is. You've got Matt Stafford in his 12th season. Never won a playoff game until this year. How many playoff wins does Tom Brady have? 5-time Super Bowl MVP. A 3-time league MVP, which probably should be 4 this year.
Yeah.
Because he did throw more touchdowns than anybody else, more passing yards. I mean, the guy's just amazing. Every single year he was healthy, he made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Every single year. So it's like, you know, anytime he was quarterback, they won. And I don't care who it was, he took an average-ass Tampa Bay team, won a Super Bowl at the age of 43. So this guy right here is just amazing to me. But my fondest memory, Bart, you know what that is. It's yours too, I'm sure, the Can't Wait game.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because the fact that we knocked him out of the playoffs. And that was in the prime of his career. Not at the end of it, but the prime of his career. And I think that some people don't realize how hard it was to play this guy.
Yeah.
The other thing that I have two great memories of, when my brother won Super Bowls on that staff when Brady was a quarterback. But the story that I remember about Tom Brady, my brother had just won a Super Bowl, and in New England, we were there. We were there for one of our buddies, Tony Siragusa, had a golf tournament, and we're all standing there. My dad's looking up, and I go, hey, Rob, isn't that Brady right there? And sure enough, he's coming down the escalator. Nobody's around him. They had just won the Super Bowl at New England, and nobody in the airport knew that this was Tom Brady. And I'm like, boy, have times changed now, because he couldn't walk across the street without getting mobbed. But it's amazing back then. And he was such a humble guy.
Yes.
You know, such a humble guy and such a nice, gracious guy. And then later, of course, we grew to hate him because we wanted to beat his ass so bad. But he was, to me, there's never, ever going to be another Tom Brady. I love this guy from Cincinnati. I compare him to Brady, because I see the traits. I see the eyes, the competitiveness, the poise, the way he elevates his team. But there's no way in hell he's going to have the career of Tom Brady. And it's not because of Joe Burrow is not a great player. It's because there's nobody ever going to have a career like Tom Brady.
Yeah, he's definitely special. And you talk about the Can't Wait game. For me, what it's about is, even in that defeat, how gracious he's always been. Right. Like, some people are bad losers. You know, and he always was a professional. I always go back to when, you know, Cam Newton, I was there working for CBS, and Cam Newton lost and he was yelling and all that stuff in the interviews. I always had so much respect for the Super Bowls that Brady lost, how he answered the tough questions, how he stood up, how he took accountability, and how he got right back to work. You know, so for me, anybody can win and be a good winner. He was a gracious loser. Not that he enjoyed it, but he took accountability and he understood that it wasn't his line to make excuses when he lost. It was his responsibility to get back to work so that he wouldn't have that feeling the following year. And he always had his team in it, man. So you talk about 7 Super Bowl titles, but going there 10 times is almost unprecedented. You know, we've only seen this in sports, maybe with LeBron James and how he's taken his teams to titles before. But we know football is a much more dependent sport than that of basketball. Right. So, I mean, I tip my hat to Tom Brady. If this was it, you know, I'm glad that he went out on top and he didn't get retired like Joe Montana. He didn't get retired like Johnny Unitas. He didn't get retired like Peyton Manning, that he went out on top and he did it his way.
Yeah. And Bart, like you say, I mean, here's the thing. His last game, he brought his team back from a 24-point deficit.
Yeah.
If he could play any defense, if his team could have, they would have been in this game. So it's like, you're right. He was an amazing quarterback from the time he started, but until he was 44 and finished his career, and he's still one of the best damn players, even today. So to me, the great thing is he can walk away healthy with all his faculties and knowing that he was the greatest of all time. To me, that's the perfect time to retire. And I hope he enjoys his retirement, and I wish him nothing but success. I just wish that sucker would have retired about
who you telling 10,
15 years.
Him and Ben Roethlisberger, ain't that something? If they would have retired earlier, we would have had some Super Bowls.
Damn,
and it would have been good. I tell you what, man, you know, the business of football is going to continue, right? We got 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. And now we have the coaching carousel going on. We got Brian Daboll to the Giants, which I think was a tremendous hire. And they had to hurry up and press it because Miami was flying them down. And we know how that works, right? Hey, I'm going to fly down and say, no, you're not leaving the building. What you want? Josh McDaniels, surprisingly, right? I mean, he turned down the coach job years ago because Bill Belichick was going to give him his world. And finally, he decides to say, you know what, it's time for me to go. Because, you know, I think it was starting to cool on him as some of these other geniuses were starting to be crowned. And he goes to the Raiders, which is Bashadi. You know, I always say his name wrong. You know, I felt like he did a great job, but we knew that he wasn't going to get the opportunity. You know, but they go as a package deal. You know, they go as, you know, two Patriots going over to Las Vegas, but man, they're going to one of the toughest divisions, a division that he knows very well. Could you imagine, like, you know, him having to go to that division with Derek Carr and look up and potentially Aaron Rodgers is in that division, Mahomes and Justin Herbert? I mean, picking one of the toughest jobs.
Yeah, it is. But I tell you what, I think it's a great hire. I think the Raiders are getting one hell of an offensive coach. And here's the other thing. Josh is a football coach. He started his career on the defensive side of the football, then became an offensive, you know, guru. Now, look, was he ready to be the Denver head coach? Hell no.
Right.
He was so young that he never had that experience.
He was McVay before McVay was McVay.
Yeah, and the thing is now he goes back, gets back in New England and all that. Several years have passed. He turns down the Colts because he thought it wasn't the right spot. And he knows you're only going to get one more opportunity. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And he takes this shot. And you know what? He took it. The GM and him will be connected. I think it's going to be a huge hire. Just like I think the Brian Daboll hire is outstanding for the Giants. Look, don't be shocked when Daniel Jones all of a sudden becomes a player.
Yeah. Well,
I really believe that. And Brian Daboll really likes Daniel Jones. So I think that's a good hire. Matt Eberflus going to the Bears. Matt Eberflus, the young man that my brother got into the league, coached linebackers for my brother for several years. And so I love the fact he's getting the shot. Good for him. We'll see what happens. Let's face it. The city of Chicago couldn't stand Matt Nagy. So now they get Eberflus. And I think he's a much different guy. I think the city of Chicago will like Matt Eberflus.
I think the surprising things are the names that we haven't heard get hired yet. We haven't heard anything about Byron Leftwich, Todd Bowles, nothing about Brian Flores. We have heard about Kellen Moore, But we haven't heard, you know, Eric the Enemy. None of these right. guys have been in the cycle, and, you know, Leslie Frazier as well. And, you know, I'm not just saying that because they're African-Americans. I'm saying because they're pretty good coaches that were high-profile names. And I know Eberflus has been in the circuit for a while, and, of course, Josh McDaniels have been there for a minute, and Brian Daboll probably was the hottest name because of that game that we saw in Kansas City.
And New England.
Right. I mean, for a second, you know, Jim Caldwell was rumored to the Bears. I understand that he's an older coach that, you know, it's almost like Marvin Lewis at this point trying to get back in the game. They've been around so long that how much can you grow with a young team and a young quarterback? But I wonder which one of these guys land first. You know, is it Flores? You know, it's been reports that Harbaugh is going to get an interview
right.
to gauge his interest in Minnesota. So
yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, you know, which one of these guys are going to be lost without any chairs and musical chairs.
Well, I think it's really strange. And, you know, when you really look at it, this is 2 years in a row that an African-American head football coach has been fired after having winning records. Yeah. You know, overall,
Anthony Lynn last year. Yeah.
Anthony Lynn has a winning record, won a playoff game, all that. And then you got Brian Flores. And look, Flores won 8 out of 9 games. He got fired.
And 4-2 against Bill Belichick.
It's almost like you got to be, you know, it's just crazy. And unfortunately, and you see the coach with the Houston Texans get fired. After
David Culley.
David Culley. And it's like, what the hell? Like, are we going to give guys opportunities or not? And look, I hope that we're not giving guys jobs because of the skin color, but I also hope we're not, you know, we're
excluding
not
them. Yeah.
Because of it, the damn skin color. Skin color means jack to me and you also.
Yeah.
But
That's the beauty of football, right? That's the beauty of football. The beauty of football is it don't matter. Can you get the job done? I can care less what your sexuality is, what your gender is. I care less what your gender is. If you can coach, you can coach.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. And the thing to me is there's clearly some outstanding African-American football coaches. Brian Flores, I thought, would be the first guy to get a job.
Yeah.
Because, like, what the hell, you know, but – you know, and then Eric Bieniemy, if you're just taking who's done a great job as an offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy. Now, look, we don't know. Nobody is privy to, well, he must not interview well. Well, you know what? He coaches well. So
exactly. Like, his team plays, his unit performs well.
And that's so hopefully we'll see some opportunities for some deserving guys and we can finally move on. Hopefully we're not thinking, well, we've only got, you know, X amount of African American coach. Hopefully at some point it becomes, we just have a lot of really good football coaches, regardless right. of what the skin color is, but hopefully some of these guys get opportunities because we all know they're outstanding coaches.
Right.
When you're talking to Brian Flores and Eric Bieniemy, a Leslie Frazier, you know, there are some great freaking coaches out there. And hopefully they'll get some opportunities.
I tell you what, we have had progress in the general manager spot. We'll have some guys, you know, two guys, Minnesota and Chicago, get some opportunities. It'd be interesting, you know, also in this, you know, I'm surprised that Doug Peterson didn't get any more opportunities because the Super Bowl winning coaches don't just grow on trees, and especially one who has a knack for improving quarterbacks. So, I mean, I'm shocked. I'm not just shocked that for me. I'm just shocked as well that, you know, Doug Peterson didn't get more of a legitimate shot as well. Remains to be seen. But I tell you what, I wonder where Sean Payton plays in all of this. I tell you what, you talk about burning a bridge down, man. You talk about setting it on fire when you leave. $71 million, Rex? I mean, listen, you talk about the rollback prices for Walmart, everything must go. I mean, they got to have a garage sale out there in New Orleans, man. Like, this is a super.
Sean Payton's no dummy. He knew he was his ass kicked. He had 3 years left on a contract. He's going to get his ass kicked. And believe me, I know firsthand what it looks like when you're in a rebuild.
$71 million.
And you don't have a quarterback.
Like, I think he paid him twice on the way out. Like, yeah, was it? It was like, oh, I'm about to be out of here, man. Don't worry, Taysom Hill. I'll pay you twice because I don't have to deal with it. I mean, like, come on, man. Like,
and now he's thinking, well, he goes, hey, I'm going to get out with my reputation. All right.
Yep.
I'm not going to try to coach these guys. I'm going to get out with my reputation. I may go into TV or I may not. If somebody wants to give up draft capital for me, so be it. And I'll hit him again. It can't be worse than the situation I left.
Oh, right? Man.
And I think he's going to end up in Fox. You mark it down. I think that's where he goes. And doing the job I have, which is pretty damn good. But, look, Sean's a good guy, and he's a great football coach.
He ain't no dummy.
But he's no dummy because that team ain't going to win. And to me, it's like, let me get out while I can, while I still have my reputation and being – guru guy, and then let opportunities come down. Is it 3-4 years from now? Next year, we'll find out. But I think Sean Payton will get into the studio. I think he'll find out that this is a pretty damn good life, and uh-huh. I'm not sure he wants to get right back in the fire.
I tell you what, man. If I'm Matty Ice, I'm like, hell, I can win a divisional title. Who's I'm going against? Sam Darnold, Taysom Hill. Hell yeah, double down.
Teams. Like, if you're sitting back and you're Carolina and you're thinking, why the hell can't we win this thing? You know, like, any of these teams. So, to me, like golly. Like,
but you look at this. If this is it for Tom Brady and Sean Payton's gone, can you imagine the run on free agents from just those two teams?
Oh, yeah.
Whether you're talking about O.J. Howard, Ryan Jansen, you talk about Armstead, you talk about Marcus Lattimore, you know that Michael Thomas is available for trade. You know they can't wait to get rid of that one.
No.
I mean, guys like DeMario Davis at 33, Cam Jordan in his 13th year.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. There's going to be – I mean, if you're looking to buy – just call New Orleans because they're looking to sell.
I tell you what, Rex, it's going to be interesting. We won't be doing an organized cast next week because we're going to save all our strength for the Super Bowl. But I tell you what, let's end it with that, Rex, because we don't want to give them too much because we got to save all our strength for the Super Bowl. So I'm Bart Scott. He's Rex Ryan. This has been another episode of Organized Chaos Podcast. Rex and I will be dropping another podcast following Super Bowl 56. You can catch me always weekdays from 12 to 3 Eastern on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. You can catch Rex Sunday on NFL Countdown and Monday mornings on Get Up. Thanks for listening. Rex, I'll see you Super Bowl Sunday. After the conclusion of the Super Bowl, we will have a champion, Rex. It's been a ball.
Yeah. Can't wait, Bart. Can't wait.
Thanks for listening to Organized Chaos. Check back for new episodes every Monday morning all season long, wherever you get your podcasts.